Blog Talk Radio.
I surrendered. I didn't do what I was praying.
watching the weather, wasting time and chasing fate. I look at the life I've been designing, waiting around for my breakthrough. But I'm pushing my dreams to the side of me, 'cause they can't love me like you do. I give you my all, give you my all, and I'm not running anymore. I give you my all, I'm giving you all of me, all of me.
Sing this song. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, everybody.
The Lord is my shepherd.
He goes before me.
He goes before me.
Defender behind me.
Defender behind me.
Y'all been practicing. I won't fear.
I won't
fear. I'm filled with anointing.
I'm filled with anointing.
Thank you, Jesus. My cup overflowing.
My cup's overflowing.
No weapon can harm me.
No weapon can harm me.
Jesus. I won't fear.
I won't.
People look Jesus right there. He always guides me.
He always guides me.
Amen. Welcome, 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 Prophetic Grace Network. Welcome to PGN, where not only we talk about it, but we are about it. We are about the work of the Lord being manifested every day in our lives here in this earth. And we are believing that we focus on what God has called us to do and that we do it well so that he's pleased, so that he gets all glory out of our lives. And so tonight I just want to start out with a prayer, then we'll get into introductions and everything. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, another day, Lord. We just thank you for this moment, Father God. We just thank you for just clearing our minds, Father God, to really hear from you, Father. Not being distracted, not being concerned about the things that you have already worked out. We understand that situations happen in our lives. Things can occur. Things that are repercussions from our decisions or just things in general. But we know that all things, whatever the thing is, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love you, Lord, and are called according to your purpose. And so, Father, we thank you for first loving us. Lord, we just thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here. And we just welcome you in. We welcome you in, Lord. We ask you, Father, to just open up to us tonight, Father God, and just pour on us tonight, Father God, any way that you see fit, because it's your verse, your voice in which we want to hear tonight, mm-hmm. Your spirit in which we yield to tonight. So, Father, we just bind any distraction of the enemy that could cause somebody to not receive tonight, to not hear from you, to not get what it is that you have for them to get because of distractions. I just really sense distractions tonight. And so, Lord, I just bind distractions right now in the name of Jesus. I bind things that's not important, not more important than you. I pray, Father God, that you teach us, Father God, how to manage who we are and manage what you have given us so that we can get all that we need out of you, Father God, all that we need. We want to be available to you because some of us, we're on different levels in our lives, and there's certain things that some of us can do that others can't. Others can't because that's not what you're calling them to do something that this particular thing they can't do because this may hinder them in this area, but this other person can do it all day and it doesn't affect them. But Lord, just keep us focused on what you have for us and not so focused on what others can do, but just focus on what we can do, because we understand that we can do nothing without you. And so, Lord, we just ask that you strengthen us, Lord, to battle distractions. Give us the mind, give us the strategy, give us the focus, Father God, the desire to overcome those distractions. We all have issues, we all have shortcomings, we all have sinned and have come short of your glory. But Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we just thank you for where we are right now, that what it is that you're telling us now, that we receive it so that we can go further in you and receive all that you have for PGN. Lord, we just thank you for this network. We thank you for this platform to be able to minister and teach the kingdom. And teach kingdom, preach kingdom. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the blessings that are attached to this network.
Yeah.
We thank you for all the people and the giftings that you provided for this network to be what it has come to be, and yet what we have yet to see, in which we know that you have already prepared So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for it already being done. Whatever it is, we just thank you for it being done. We thank you. Thank you for it being done. We just thank you for families tonight, Father God. We just thank you for the family structure, Father God. We pray that the importance of family comes back now in Jesus' name, that the value of the family that you have desired, the family that you have called to be, not this man-made family, not this thing that people call families, but what you designed and called a family to be. Lord, we just open up and we receive tonight in Jesus' name that families, godly families, Lord, will begin to have a presence in this earth, Father God. We just thank you that households are being changed right now as we speak, Father God, that fathers, that men are stepping up and being who they have been called to be, that mothers, women are stepping up and being who you've called them to be, and children are stepping up and being who you've called them to be, and they're understanding what it means to be taught, what it means to honor, what it means to be obedient, what it means to be trained and loved unconditionally. No, we just thank you for those families right now in Jesus' name. We just call them forth that they begin to have an impact in this world, an impact in society, to still give people, let people know that there is still hope. That there is still hope, that there is still hope, and hope is in you. Hope is in you. We just thank you that you're teaching husbands how to be husbands and wives how to be wives, fathers how to be fathers, and mothers how to be mothers. Just people teaching people how to nurture a relationship properly with one another. We just thank you for that. Knowing how to communicate effectively and efficiently, and having a desire and heart to do it. Parents being accountable and understanding what we are accountable for and honoring that, because you've called a parent to do certain things. And so, Lord, we just take a step forward in the spirit tonight. Hallelujah. We just take this step of faith in the spirit tonight. It's a lot of things that we don't know, but we know who. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you to lead and guide us. And Lord, we just thank you that tonight's show, tonight's service, tonight's moment of ministry, Father God, that you would just have your way and do as you please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Here we are. I'm Terrence.
I'm Tanisha. Excuse me. Today is July 25th, 2021. It is 9:24 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we are excited to be here. We're glad that you are here, excited to see what the Lord has to say, and very good word so far from my sweetheart. You know, we never plan what we're going to say. We just kind of let the Lord We just let the Lord have his way and let him flow through us. And so we just pray that you receive what he's giving you. Because a lot of the times we come on and we have certain things in mind, right? There's been plenty of times where I've called in to Randy with a specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will prophesy or minister to something else. And come to find out that what he prophesied or ministered to was something that was more pressing than what I thought was what needed to be addressed. Sometimes things that we think need to be addressed don't even need to be addressed. It's already taken care of. But thank God that he supplies all of our needs. He gives us what we need. We just have to receive and be receptive. And we have to have an ear. He who has the ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And so tonight my prayer is that you receive from the Lord. Know that Terrence and I were just vessels. We pray that we decrease so that God increases,
mm-hmm.
And gives you what you need, and just receive what God has for you tonight. Amen.
Amen. I see that we got quite a few, but what we're going to do, we're going to pray over everybody tonight. That's That's the promise. We're going to unmute you. We're going to get your name. And we're going to mute you again, and we're going to pray over you, because it's a lot of y'all. But we still be led by the Spirit. So if the Lord tells me to talk to somebody, he tells us to do that, that's what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how we do it. So just thank God for the... Hold on 1 second.
1 minute to get ourselves together. And then we are going to pray over you. And like I said, just be receptive to what the Lord has for you tonight.
Yes, I'm back. Yeah, I'm in Father. I'm doing, having to do some father duties, you know, because sometimes, you know, us as parents, you know, when you're training your children, you know, it's a tough job. It's a tough job, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to give instructions in different ways if you follow them, because there are levels of, there is instruction, but there's levels to how you receive instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to keep, it's like having a key ring, and you got the what you're training is the lock. And so you got to sort through the keys, which key is going to fit this lock so I can get in, you know? And so when it comes down to discipline and different things, there, you know, just come, you know, come a time where you have to change your approach.
Right.
You have to change your approach and give that reminder. That reminder, because you got to think about your children are being influenced by a lot of things outside of you. And so you're battling with that. You're battling with those distractions. You're battling with those particular influences. And so you have to know where it's coming from in order to know how to approach it effectively.
Right.
You know, I know where a lot of mine comes from. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. There are times when I'm too relaxed on certain things, you know. And I've been praying for balance, because one thing, when it comes down to my children, I want God to be pleased with how I train them, you know. And I can't just allow the world to train my children. I just can't send my kids to school and say, all right, that's it, I'm good, and shut them off, you know. No, we can't do it. You know, we have to have these conversations. They have to know who's in charge. You know, because God lets us know he's in charge. He lets us know he is Abba. So he definitely lets us know, and so that's what we have to do. Sometimes you have to let them kids know, you know, what's really going on, and give them a firm reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Firm reminder. Get that act right. And that's what sometimes God will allow in our lives. You know, you keep doing certain things he told you, you know. He's like, oh, okay. I'm going to lead you to it.
Right.
Since you want to be grown, you don't want to listen to what I'm saying, I'm going to lead you to it. And you finna deal with it. But I'll be here when you still need me.
That's so true.
But you're going to feel it.
I walked away. Well, yeah. I tried to walk away. Well, I basically told God to leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And I was just going to do what the world was doing. And I could feel him behind me. It's almost like you're taking a walk and you sense somebody following you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt him.
Mm-hmm.
When I was ready
right
to, when I was ready to come back, because he never left me.
Mm-hmm.
I was choosing not to go to him anymore, but he was still there. But when I chose to come back, he was there with open arms, just like the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Father was.
Mm-hmm.
He was there with open arms.
Yeah, and that's unconditional love. You know, that's a love that goes beyond just what you do for me. Even if you ain't doing what's required, even if you ain't stepping the way I want you to step, I'm still gonna love you the same.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna love you the same. I'm still here for you. I just want you to win.
That's it.
I just want you to win. And God's constantly teaching us how to love and how to really learn how to love and walk in full faith, complete faith. Because this week has really been the Lord has definitely been driving faith. Because when you ask God, Lord, I want my faith increased. I want to believe like never before. Trust me, there will be an opportunity that will present itself for you to do just that.
Mm-hmm.
When it presents itself, don't be folding up. Don't you be trying to get in the way and trying to figure it out. When God has given you, presented you an opportunity to do exactly what you've been praying for.
Right.
Lord, I need my faith to be increased. Okay, I'm going to remove this. All right. Then I'm going to give you this. You going to believe for this, or you going to try to figure it out? The best way. You know, that's one thing about us that's really nerve-wracking. Especially us as believers. We always be trying to figure out what makes sense. And when you read through scripture, you tell me what in there made sense. The things God had people doing. What sense, like man sense, did it make on our level of logic?
Right.
And so those are like examples to me that if you really want to walk in faith and you really want to walk with God, you really want to please God, quit trying to make sense of everything. Stop it. I had to deal with that. I still deal with it. Not as often as I have, but I have to check myself. Like, why am I trying to make sense of this? Instead of just going to God first, Lord, all right, here it is. All right, this is where I am. I know you know that. But I want to have this conversation with you.
Right.
You know where I am, but I got to confess it. I got to get it out of me. This is where I am. I have to worship him in spirit and truth. So I go to God in prayer, and I hit him with the truth. Then he provides me the instructions because he is the solution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the source that can handle everything in my life. So when I take it to him first, honest about how I feel, but at the same time, while I'm being honest about how I feel, I'm working the principle that I know I'm supposed to be working as a follower of Christ and as one that is walking in faith. So you got this situation. boom, it hits you. Okay, Lord. Woo. Yeah. Okay, Lord, but I'm here. I feel like I really don't know what to do. You know, I don't know what's going on. I really don't know how to handle it. You know, you had a conversation, then you have to catch yourself before you try. You go up, well, I'm going to do this right quick. You know, because you be having sidebar conversation with yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pray and confess the Lord, but then you get to talk to yourself. Okay, I'm going to do this right here. Because if I do this, that's how it's going on in your head. But when God is just saying, just stand still and know that I am. People ask, what you going to do? You can tell them, I really don't know. I'm just waiting on God to give instruction. Then I'm going to do that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Whatever God tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And that's a solid, honest answer. Because that's sure what I say. I told my wife that plenty of time. I don't know. But I'm just going to wait on the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I'm putting it on him. Shoot. Because when you look at a relationship, my wife trusts God first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because scripture says, put all our trust in no man, for he will deceive you. Any of us can be put in a deceptive situation that can have us deceiving those around us. Any of us. So you have to keep that in mind at all times. So, because why? Because this is what the scriptures teach you. Okay? Because then you'll be at a point to where how you react and how you deal with things, if those particular things ever happen, will show where you are
mm-hmm.
in your walk. Because I promise you, I know people, there were people, man, know plenty of scripture, pray 15 times a day, but as something human-like, they become the victim and they beat up on other people. And they feel justified in it. But see, that's another thing that don't make logical sense on a human level. To where, how can someone hurt me and I ain't done nothing to them? So it's only right that I let them, make them feel how I feel. They need to know how I feel. And I'm going to tell you, the world is going to applaud that. The world is going to agree with that all day. But then you as a believer, you have to, after practicing and knowing what God has shown you, you got to ask yourself. You got to go to him first. Okay, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm really hurting. This has really hit me in a way that I didn't want to be hit. What do I do? How do I deal with this? God will give you instructions on how to deal with that too. Because I'm going to tell you, so many of us are going, so many of us are living a life right now to where Satan is really playing with the emotions of you, well, really not playing, but driving the emotions of you to where you are in a place to where you're angry at a person and you have not forgiven them. And then you're wondering why things are stagnant in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to forgive them. You got to forgive them. Why people, we want to know why so much. Spend so much time on why. But you know what Jesus always takes me back to? Him. He was perfect. He is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
He did nothing negatively in a negative way to no one. He loved everybody. But yet and still, he was betrayed. So, don't play victim tonight. When you get in situations or when someone wrongs you or someone hurts you, get out of that victim mentality and really walk like a true believer, a dedicated follower of Christ, and do what this is, man, this is the type of living that we're going, lives we're going to have to live, people.
Yeah.
This is the level of faith that I'm talking about. This is the level of living that I'm talking about. We used to have this campaign years ago, what would Jesus do? And that's a solid question. Because if you don't know what Jesus would do, you could go to the reference manual. You could go on and get in that Bible and it'll tell you. Seek. And ye shall find. God has put in a place that every hurt has been healed, every sickness has been healed, the sting of hurt has been removed. These are the things that he has done that we have to tap into to receive it. And we have to claim it as our own. So many of us are walking around hurting and walking in unforgiveness with a hallelujah smile on your face.
Yes.
And tonight you need to be cleansed of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight you need to be cleansed of it. So just release that now in Jesus' name. Release that anger. Lord, we just pray that people will forgive those that have hurt them. Forgive those that have wronged them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Because if when you don't let it go, controls you. It still has power over you. Lord, I pray that we release tonight all of that extra baggage and extra pain from our past. In Jesus' name, it set our eyes on what you desire for us to be doing now. We forgive those people in Jesus' name, and we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. And whatever hellish situations that they are in and demonic spirits that they are under, we pray that you will move in their lives and change their lives so that they will serve you. And don't go hurt nobody else. In Jesus' name. Because I sense a great percentage of the body is moving like that, is living like that. Everyday life is really living like that. Really living like that. We just come against it because we don't want anybody to pass with unforgiveness in their hearts.
Yeah.
No, I don't. God doesn't want you to eat. Unforgiveness could keep us out. Unforgiveness to have you missing the train.
Man. It's scary. I want you to understand the repercussions of unforgiveness. It's not even about what you block here on this earth, because you do block. Unforgiveness is a block. It's like a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fortress. You know, it stops things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the brakes and the parking brake on too. I can't give enough analogies of what unforgiveness is on this side of eternity, but what people don't realize is that unforgiveness will keep you out.
Mm-hmm.
It will revoke. When I have my experience that I've talked about several times on the show, I even have a show that I dedicated to this. When I had my experience where I went to hell, and yes, I went to hell. I did not die, mm-hmm. but I had a dream. In 2002, that I died. I had the dream, and the dream I died and went to hell. And I really believe in my spirit, with everything in me, that I was really physically there. And I'm not going to recall the whole dream, but a part of the dream, the Lord took me out of hell, and we were suspended above the earth, in between the earth and heaven. There was a flame that separated heaven from the rest of the universe, and it was in the right hand corner. I remember that. And I asked them why was I in that horrible place. I remember asking them just like that, why did you send me to that horrible place? Because just to backtrack, in the dream I knew I was going to die, and I was excited because I knew where I was going, but I just went down into hell, and it was the most horrible thing I can ever describe. But when I asked the Lord face to face, why did he send me there? He said, because you had unforgiveness in your heart. And he told me I had to forgive people. And he told me the church was out of control, and that there was many in the church that had unforgiveness in their heart. And that's the part, besides how horrible hell was, that stood out the most to me, was the fact that my unforgiveness, if I would have died at that point in my life, I really would have went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God doesn't lie, that forgive others. If you don't forgive others, God does not forgive you. Do you understand what that? Hear me. There's nothing on this earth that's serious, that's that important to keep you out and keep you away from eternity. And I know there's some horrible things that could have happened to you. They could have murdered your family member. You could have been raped. They stole from you. They took your business idea and became multimillionaires, and now you're eating beanie weenie and top ramen every night. You're struggling. I get it. I'm not saying that those things aren't horrible and they're not terrible. I'm not saying those things. But what I'm saying is nothing is worth your eternity.
Mm-mm.
Nothing is worth your eternity. It's bad enough that you're not going to have your abundance on this side with your unforgiveness. It's not bad enough that it's like a rot. The word of God says it's like a rot. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like a rot. It literally rots you. You stink. Things that are stinky, nobody wants to eat, smell, or be around. And that's how you get when you're bitter. You start to rot. You start to become this a bitter person. Your personality changes. Your speech changes. How you operate, how you move. It changes you. Everything about you changes. The people don't want to be around you. So then you're isolated. And it's not good for man to be alone. Now you're just stuck with your stinking thinking and your funky unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just being, and now you're mad about everything because you're not getting to experience certain things and you're not partaking. And it's your own fault because you're not forgiving, but you're blaming that person. But no, they may have had the opportunity to do something to you, but you have the power to determine how deep it gets. So it's on you now to how far and how deep you're allowing that hurt to go. Now it's on you because you've allowed that thing to take root and to spread like a fungus, like a cancer into your body. And now it's stopping everything, and you're allowing it to stop everything because you have the power to forgive. You can't stop or control what happened to you. You can't. That's what's done is done.
Mm-hmm.
But you got full power to forgive.
Yes, full power. Full power to forgive. That's beautiful. Beautiful to sit and let it marinate. Let it marinate. I'm going to let I need to step out for a second, yeah. But I just thank God. We thank God.
Okay.
Well, we're going to get ready to start answering calls in the first caller.
Be 803-991.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Angela.
Hey,
Angela. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you all doing?
Good. How are you all doing?
Great. Wow. Let's pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for Angela tonight, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you for victory. We just thank you for an abundance of victory. We just thank you for joy. We thank you for understanding what it means to be a winner. What it means to be a winner, understanding what it means to walk in full victory. Because there is a confidence, not a cockiness, not an arrogant personality or an arrogant way of thinking. It's just confidence. You know, the Bible talks about being confident in the Lord. And so when you're confident in what God has said and you're confident in what God is opening you up to, then you can see what it really is hold on 1 second, because it's not a cockiness, it's a confidence, because when you really know what God can do and has done and who he is, when you truly know who God is, there's a high level of assurance that you walk in. You know, before when Peter walked on water, when he stepped out of the boat, he already knew who Jesus was. He didn't just meet him at that moment, because he recognized him. Then he said, can I come, you know, be with you, you know. Yeah, come on. And so Peter stepped out, and so he was walking in full confidence on the word of the Lord. He stepped out on the word of the Lord. He stepped out on what God said that he could do. He asked, and God gave him permission to do it. And then he began to do it. He began to do it. And so, that's what I'm seeing with you, Angela, as that's how you walk in victory. That's how you can claim victory. That's how you can understand that you are a true winner because of the word of the Lord. What God has told you, you can do. That's exactly what you can do. You just got to step out on the word. That's the assurance, because he said it. You got to believe it. And so that's the level of confidence that I see you moving in. That's the level of confidence that I see you speaking in, thinking in, hearing God with confidence. You know, it's, you know, you have a conversation with people and you can listen to them like, yeah, okay, I hear you. Uh-huh. But when you're listening to somebody that you have confidence in, you tuned in and you're listening to them like, okay, all right, I got that. Okay, I see. It's a different way that you hear it and receive it. You know, God is proven. He's proven himself every day. He's constantly proving himself. Constantly. Because he's faithful. He's faithful. And we just thank God for that. And I just pray that God continues to open you up to that level of understanding in him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Tanisha had to step out for a minute, so I'm going to go to the next caller, 225-270. We're speaking with.
Hello?
Hello, who are we speaking with?
Jacqueline, J-A-C-Q-U-E-L-I-E.
Hey, Jacqueline, how you doing tonight?
All right.
All right, let's pray for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for Jacqueline tonight. Got a verse for you. Well, we're going to go to Psalms 100, verse 4. It says, enter, I'm reading King James. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. and his truth endureth to all generations. You know, you ask yourself, why does truth have to have endurance? You know, you got to think about what the truth has to go through just to remain truth. See, the race isn't given to the swift or the swamp, the swift or the strong, but the one that endures to the end. And so, when you're walking in truth, the truth of the Lord, the truth of the matter, will be tested. It will be tested because lies are always trying to compromise the truth. Lies are always trying to distort the truth. And so the truth has to have endurance. The truth will outlast the lies because the truth is what it is. It's not going to change. A lie going to change every time you hear it. It's going to either be some ad or taken away from it. But the truth is what it is. And so it's going to last. And it says to all generations. And so, Jacqueline, God has given you something to give to the next generation. And God really wants you to share the truth. The truth. Tell the truth. Regardless of, you know, if it may hurt people's feelings, you know, or it may make you unpopular, you know, this, that, and other. That really doesn't matter. Just tell the truth so that the truth can be passed on to the next generation. Because if we're not preaching the truth right now and the next generation is not hearing the truth, but they're always hearing the lies. They're always hearing the lies. That's causing the truth to be subdued in a way. But God needs us to keep planting the truth and keep spreading the truth so that it can endure, so that it can move with the next generation and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. And so, Lord, we just thank you for opening Jacqueline up to understanding the power of the truth and the power of sharing it, the power with the generations, the power of the generations, and breaking those generational curses, those lies that want to hold these generations captive, making each generation believe certain things and think certain things and act certain ways. But we just thank you that you are opening her up to teaching a generation of believers, teaching a generation of truth seekers that could promote a way of change in this world. So, Father, we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go 251652. Who am I speaking with? Are you there? All right, we will come back. All right,
478233.
Okay.
Hello.
This is Janice from Georgia.
Hey, Janice, how you doing?
Okay, how you doing?
Oh, we're doing great over here. Doing
good.
Wonderful.
Good.
Yeah, that's good. Good to hear your voice. Let's pray for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Janice.
Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you tonight for Janice, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for like I saw like a javelin throw. I don't know if you're familiar with like a javelin. It felt like you like throwing it. Let's see. It says, okay, I know what a javelin is, but let me read it. It says a light spear thrown in a competitive sport or as a weapon. Yes, okay, because when you look back and you study history with how different armies battled based on what they had, javelin was one of those weapons with the sharp ends that they would throw and hope to hit somebody. But the thing about it, a lot of those javelin throwers were very accurate and deliberate in their throws. And that's what I saw like you doing, like like God was teaching you how to aim and throw that javelin and get it out there to destroy some things that are coming your way, that are trying to come your way. But you're protecting yourself by tossing that javelin and taking them out. I mean, taking it out. I don't know. I've never seen nobody. I never had a prophecy like this where I talk about somebody throwing a javelin, but that's exactly what I saw. You throwing a javelin, and but God is teaching you how to, he's teaching you how to fight back, teaching you how to use the weapons that you have, and when to use them. And what they are used for. Amen. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So in the spirit, it's time to release. It's time to put things in place. It's time to fight. It's time to fight. It's a time for all things, and it's time to fight. It's time to fight. Mhm. And you win. But you gotta fight. You gotta fight. I know it's times we don't want to fight, but there come times where we need to fight. Need to fight. Yeah, but God is with you. God is with you, and God is definitely protecting you. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for Janice. Lord, we just thank you for strengthening her and teaching her all the lessons that she needs to be able to operate on the level that she needs to operate on in this season of her life. So we just thank you for the warrior mentality. We thank you for the fighter in her, Lord, to stand up and stand her ground in Jesus' name. And be like the tree planted by the rivers of flowing waters and won't be moved. Whatsoever in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. Rich. Here we go. 850764. Who's speaking with? I hear something.
Hello? Are you there? 850-764? 850? We're going to let you get that line together. Hopefully we get back to you. All right. Let's go here. 682-738, I think it's my sister, Lashen. Hello? Hello, are you there? We're going to come back to you, too. I know this is a sign. This should be Latrice, 251-342.
Hey,
how you doing?
How are you?
Great. I knew it wasn't nothing wrong with my connection. Not tonight. I was like, hold on. I'm like, let me get to my sister. How you been doing?
It is well. It's
well.
Yes. Hallelujah. Let's
pray.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Let's see what the Lord got to say.
Speak, Lord.
Wow.
Speak, Lord.
Wow. I gotta go to this scripture. Hold on. He'll tell me, get the book. Yes, sir. Let me get the book. I'm getting the book. I'm in the book. Let's go to the book. All right. Matthew, I'm going to start okay, I'm just going to read it from the 23rd verse, Matthew 22-23. We're going to read 23 through 33 or what have you. King James says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. You err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. And so, like the title for this was Silencing the Sadducees. And I see where God is using you, Latrice, to speak the true gospel. Because so many people are in error of the word of God, and they're making things up. They're making things up. And so God is going to use you, you know, to set them straight, basically. To set them straight. But you're going to set them straight in love, and you're going to silence them because you can't argue with the truth. Well, you can try to argue with the truth if somebody don't sit there and listen to you, but the truth is what it is. The truth is going to last. And so, Lord, we just thank you for Latrice, Father God. Just thank you for the protection of the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. And Lord, we just thank you that her mouth, Lord, is conditioned and trained, Father God, to speak what you have her to say unapologetically, but in pure love. Lord, we just thank you for using her, Lord, to spread the gospel, to show people who you are in her walk, in her life. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you bestowed on her life, Father God. We just thank you for the increase in wisdom, the increase in desire, Lord, to go deeper in you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, that there is plenty, that there is more than enough for her, Father God, to do what you've called her to do, and to walk in it in full authority. Well, we just thank you for the transforming of the way she does things. I just see you really changing the way that you've been doing things, Latrice, and really begin to start to walk in this new. Yes, there's something new happening in your life, and God's using you to really change the way things have been going, change the way things have been done for so long. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for that, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Next caller here. Hey, Mama Ruth. Hold on, I got to call your number. 336-354. Good. Hanging in here. Lovely. A lovely night. Let's pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for that release in Mama's Ruth life tonight. I just see you like sitting down, and you know, like I watching triathletes today, and they had swam miles. They rode bikes for miles, and then they had to run some miles, which took a long time. Took a long time to do. It took a long time to do it. And after they crossed the finish line, you know, some of them was just collapsing, and it was tired. You know, but I don't see you collapsing. I see you sitting down, because you've done the work. You've done what's been required, and so you're sitting down to rest, to relax, to catch your breath, you know, and to really enjoy what you have done, what you have accomplished. Because I look at a lot of the there was only three people that was going to get medals, you know, gold, silver, and bronze. But yet and still, there were so many people in the ranks,
mm-hmm,
that were still crossing the finish line. Because even though they didn't place on the podium, but yet and still, they were in a position that so many others was in. And they accomplished something that they set out to do. And so they rest.
Mm-hmm.
Across the finish line, they rest. And they train themselves to put for the next one, to put themselves in a position maybe to get gold or silver or bronze, if that's the goal. But a lot of people... I believe a lot of people that were in that race wasn't really focused on the gold or the silver or the bronze. A lot of them, that's just what they do. They are triathletes. And so they do triathlete things. Because everybody's goals is different. Some people have personal goals, you know, things they want to do. Some people are using that to clear their minds of past hurts. There was one guy running, he was a cancer survivor. And he was running. He was competing and whatever the motivation is. My hat was off to everybody in that race. To everybody in their race, because regardless if they didn't get gold or silver or bronze, you know, that doesn't change that they're still blessed, you know. And so it's like people will remember who was the gold winner, who was the silver winner, who was the bronze winner. A lot of people won't remember the other people in the race. But those other people in the race caused those to win. The people in the race caused those that won to be more competitive. You have to have those other people in the race to even have an opportunity to even place. Because if it was just one person running, you know, it wouldn't have been much of a drive. But the competition is what drives a lot of people. You know, just being a competitor. You know, like those triathletes are just triathletes. And see, you are a prayer warrior. You are a go-getter in the gospel. That's just who you are. You run your race. You ain't worried about no making no podium or this, that, and other. That's just what you do. But you're at a point right now where I see where God wants you just to relax. You know, you've crossed that finish line. Go ahead on and catch your breath. Relax.
heal up. And begin to prepare and get trained for what's next. For what's next. Because where you've been and what you've been going through, you've already completed that. I'm saying completion. It's finished. You know, you've already completed that. It's time to move on to the next thing. Get prepared for what's next in your life. In your life. Lord, we thank you that Mama Ruth is open to receive rest. Is open to receive to relax. Because, you know, some people, you know, when you built a certain way, you know, you just get used to doing things a certain way, and you really don't know how to maneuver outside of how you've always done it. But God has opened up some new things to you. It's new things. It's some that He wants you to try. He wants you to encounter where. New things He wants you to do, because there's still more in you. There's other parts of you that need to come out in this next season of your walk with Him. And that's what I'm getting for you, and just thank God for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, what I'm getting is I see the Lord is going to reveal distractions. Sometimes distractions are not what we think they are. Like, we always look at distraction like something that's obvious and negative, but sometimes a distraction can look like it's something positive, or even if it's not something positive, it could be coming from a person who doesn't mean us any harm.
Mm-hmm.
It could come from a loved one, you know, and I see the Lord revealing to you when things are distractions. Terrence and I recently were made aware of that by the Lord. You know, it's people knew that Terrence was going through a very long court battle. And at one point, the Lord said it was a distraction that was hindering other things that you know, from being able to be done. And the fight was not a negative. It wasn't like he was mindlessly doing it. He was fighting for justice. He was fighting for fairness. He was fighting for what's best. But even though he had good intentions and good grounds and a good foundation for the fight, God was like, it's still a distraction because it's not your fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that, you know, God is going to show you when you're fighting for things that are not your fight.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's very, and you've got good ground. So it's not like you're coming from a bad place or a negative place. You got just cause, right? You've got reason. You've got, just like when you go to court and you bring a suit, you have to have a cause, right? Like, or a reasonable action. I can't remember what it's called. I've never been to law school, but I know that you have grounds. There we go. You have to have grounds to come to court. So part of when you submit your document, you have to put what are your grounds? Because if your grounds are not legally, you know, solid, then the judge could immediately throw out your case because you don't have solid grounds. And so sometimes we will be in a fight and we've got solid grounds, like we've got, you know, legit concerns. But that doesn't mean that it's for you to fight.
Right.
Sometimes it's just not your fight. And so now this cause that has good ground is become a distraction. And sometimes the fight, you can identify a fight is needed in this case. There needs to be a battle needs to take place because something's not right. But it's not for you to do it. Sometimes you can, it's just for you to identify the battle and pray it through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your only fight, but not to allow it to distract you. And I see the Lord showing you the areas where it's a distraction, because things that are distracting are holding and hindering things. Like even we'll see, you know, in movies and stuff where somebody's trying to get away with something and there's somebody who's in the way, right? And they'll say what? Distract them so that I can do something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that their eyes are not where they need to be. And now I could come in and steal, or I could come in and do something.
Mm-hmm.
That's for real. And that's even with why the enemy uses anything to distract us, because he wants to get our eyes off of something that we should be focusing on so that he could come in and rob, steal, kill, and destroy,
uh-huh.
right? And we're none the wiser because our attention is focused on something else that is distracting us. But we don't even view it as a distraction. We think that it's legit. And so when you don't know something's distracting you, then you don't have an awareness that there's something else that needs your attention that's being neglected that is now left wide open to the enemy.
Right.
So God is going to show you the areas and the things, even the people that are distracting you. And you're going to turn it over to him to fight that battle and say, this is not my fight. You know, it's okay to say that. Sometimes that's what we as believers have to say. This is not my fight. There's nothing I can do about this.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can do is to turn it over to God and leave it there. I'm not going to be hindering and thinking about it all the time. I'm not going to allow it to get me out of position, because I have a post. I have some things that I do need to focus on. And if I'm not focused on it, they're just being left by the wayside. So, Lord, mm-hmm. we thank you for Mama Ruth, Father God. We thank you for showing her how the enemy works, and how he used even things near and dear to us to distract us and to get our attention off of things
mm-hmm.
and focus on something else, and help her to identify the distractions and to turn them over to you. And to even, you know, when people that she cares about try to pull her into it, if once she identifies it as a distraction, how to politely let them know that I have turned this over to the Lord. So I can't be in this fight with you, but I've turned this over to the Lord and use it as an opportunity to teach them how to battle with where to be at in the battle with the Lord when the Lord is taking over the battle. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What's your part? So, Lord, allow these situations to be a learning opportunity or a teaching opportunity for her and a learning opportunity for those who you're battling for. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's a good lesson for all of us as a body of Christ, that we can all, you know, we tend to think that things are cookie cutter, you know, or they're standardized, and they're not. The way the enemy works is not, he's always got the three, right? To kill, steal, and destroy. That's always his end goal. But he doesn't always use things that are quite obvious. Right. So, again, with the distraction thing, it could be things near and dear to you and you could have good grounds. But sometimes it is really not for you to focus on. It really is for you to just turn over, because if you're distracted, something's not being watched over. If you're distracted, think about a shepherd with his sheep. If the shepherd is distracted and his eyes aren't focused on the job at hand, the task at hand, watching the sheep. Now, a wolf or a person or anything could come in and steal sheep, and he wouldn't be none the wiser because he's so focused on whatever is distracting him. And then by the time that distraction has gone and he turns around, now half his flock is gone. You know, I like to use analogies because I think it makes it stick better. So imagine that if you're distracted, and imagine being distracted and not knowing you're distracted. Sometimes you know when you're distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when, like, I know I get distracted easily. And I have to identify that, hey, this is a distraction. But it's one thing when you are able to identify when something's distracting you, so that you have a conscious awareness, and now you could say, you know what, let me not allow myself to get sucked into this distraction any further, versus when you don't know. you're totally ignorant. Now you're perishing in an area, right? Because people perish for what reason? For lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And people always think perishing is just death. You could be perishing in an area, right? Now you're perishing in an area because you're distracted and you don't even have the knowledge that you're distracted. So now things are going on. It's perishing under your watch. So be mindful of that, and pray and ask God to show you when you get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, give you that awareness to say, I think this is not worth my attention. And maybe that's sometimes what it feels like, where you're like, I feel like somebody keeps asking me to do something, but I just feel like I shouldn't give it my attention. You know, sometimes you don't know right away why you're not feeling the need to do something. Sometimes maybe somebody, an old friend, will call you. You haven't talked to them for a long time. You miss their call, and you're like, oh, I'm going to call them back, and then you just don't. Mm-hmm. And then even though you think about it, like, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, called me. Let me make sure I call them back. And then you just still don't feel the need to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's just the Holy Spirit. You know, and then maybe you find out later that they were calling you to try to get you sucked into some drama or something. I mean, who knows? But just, you know, I just pray that God will lead you and that you would trust how you're feeling, even though you don't quite know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tara said, we always want to know the how and the why and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's just not for you to know. To just trust what you're feeling. Say, I know that person called me, and I know I said I was going to call him back, but I just don't feel like I should. You know, just trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Okay. Let's pray for LaShawn. Right. So you can hear us, but we just can't hear you, huh? All right, Lord, we thank you for LaShawn, Father God. We just thank you for blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings on blessings. There's a song that says, God's got a blessing with my name on it. So that like, what's for you is for you. Because when your name is on something, it shows a sign of ownership. If that's mine, I remember going to school and they say, make sure you put your name. You know, we got our sandwiches and they put them all in this cooler. And then when we're going on a field trip and have your drinks, you got to put the label on there. And they didn't say put a number on there. They say, make sure on that label you put your name. Why, Miss Teacher? So that when we get to where we going, you can identify what's yours. Mm-hmm. So you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher would get up there and she'd begin to hold up sandwiches. Alex, Sam, Jonah, Jessica, Erica, Eric, Pam, Paul, Derek, Donovan, Denise, Dimitri. See, the list can go on and on. But when the name was called, that individual came up and received it. And not only did they receive it, the teacher was still there and able to identify if the name on the sandwich didn't match the person that came and got it.
Mm.
Like, I didn't call your name. Your name is not Derek. And, oh, I thought, you know your name, Dimitri. I thought you said no. But see, she able to identify. And see, this is the thing. God has he has everything with your name on it.
Mm.
All right? And there is nobody that can go to God and be like, let me get that. I know my name ain't on it, but let me get it anyhow.
That's good.
He's not going to give them to him because it's not assigned to them. Their name is not on it. You is not going to be eating nobody else's lunch. We all out here on this trip, and we all need to eat. And you need to eat what you came with, and you need to eat what you put your name on. Period. And so it has your name on it. Your blessings on blessings on blessings. They're already assigned to you. You ain't got to worry about nobody taking nothing from you or trying to get what's yours. What belongs to you belongs to you. You just have to wait until your name is called. Then you go and receive it. You go and receive it. But you got to be listening.
Mm-hmm.
Listen for your name. Listen. That's what God wants you right now. Just to be listening. Because he's going to call your name to come get something that belongs to you. It belongs to you. And give him all the glory. Yeah, it belongs to you. And then you're going to have witnesses. And when he calls your name and he gives it to you, it's coming with witnesses as well that's going to witness you getting it and receiving what belongs to you. Hallelujah. So I just thank God for the season of you getting what belongs to you. That you're in the posture of hearing your name. Hearing your name during this season. Because of the sacrifices that you made. I know, it's in my spirit, I know that you set deliberate time aside for worship every day. I know you do that. And I don't know your schedule, but I know you deliberately set aside time every day to give to God. This is what I know you do. And that's why God says what you do, you know, in secret, he's going to reward you openly.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to reward you openly. Does that mean something to God when you turn the TV off? That means something to him when you get off your computer or your phone or just close your door. And it's just you and him. That means something. When you clear your mind of everybody else's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to hear from him. You ain't even going to ask him for nothing. You just want him to spend time with you.
He's going to openly reward you for that. And that's what I see God doing for you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, but to see, Terrence was saying, what's for you is for you. And just keep having the faith to believe the things that God has told you is for you, even if it sounds completely far-fetched, even if it sounds completely unobtainable, it's for you. It's like God set up a bank account for you, right? Mm. And I love Terrence's analogy about the facts of the sandwiches, right? Teachers know their students. And if somebody tried to get somebody a sandwich, teacher ain't having it because they identify that you're not that person.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given me another analogy for you. It's like he set up a bank account for you at a bank that you've never been to. And with bank accounts, they have identifying information attached to the bank account, right? Like your social security number, your signature. They usually have a copy of your ID on file. Let's say God set up a bank account for you with all of these identifying things. But you've never been to that bank. And so now he said, go to this bank and you've got X amount of money in there. So you go to the bank. You've never been to this bank. And you're like, I want to withdraw $10,000 from this account. But I don't have a debit card. That's fine. They're just going to ask you to present your identifying information and prove who you are. Nobody else can fake your identifying information. I mean, there's fraud and all that. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about scammers. We're talking about, if you were to go into a bank that was set up for you and had all of your identifying information, you would have access to that account.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way God is doing for you. It doesn't matter if they know you, like the teacher analogy. They're like, you ain't LaShawn. Or if they don't know you. But God has attached your identifying information to it, so only you can access it. So just keep believing for the things that God says, because it's already yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's set aside for you. Nobody can stop it. They could try to hinder it, but they can't stop it. and nobody else can take it because they are not attached to it. Their name ain't on the sandwich bag, and their identifying information is not attached to the account. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is believe. But we thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's already yours.
It's already yours.
Already yours. Yeah, a few people fall off that was on here first, but I don't see them no more. Let's see. I think this is 954580.
Hi. Hi, this is Carolyn.
Hello.
This is Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, how you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you.
Thank you.
How are you both?
How are you both?
Great, great.
We're doing good.
Really well, really well.
Awesome.
Better than what we can ever imagine. Let's pray. Hallelujah. All right, Lord, we just thank you for Carolyn tonight, Father God. We thank you for the clouds, like the clouds breaking. It's like, so we, a lot of people, because I like rain. Like I see a rain cloud coming, I get excited, you know. I like rain, and I just like the process of nature. I like how God has made things, and I don't know if you like rain or not, but how I saw it is that the clouds is breaking, but God wants you to enjoy the experience. Because you're learning, why he does certain things. Like he'll let us know what we need to know when he wants us to know it. And so, like, when it's raining, you know, the earth needs some water. You know, trees need to drink. The grass needs to drink. Things need to be cleaned. You know, whatever God's purpose is for that rain, we need to be okay with it, whether we understand it or like it or not. We just have to understand that this is part of the process. Like, we're going to have rainy days, just like we're going to have sunshiny days. We're going to have cool days. Gonna have some warm days depending on where you are in the earth. But you're gonna, it's certain things that that's not going to change. And we just have to be okay with it. Like some people, much as we want them to change, they just ain't gonna change. And we need to change from thinking about them changing. Because we can really get stuck in a situation wanting people to be what we want them to be, and you putting yourself in a rut. Because until they want it, it ain't going to happen. Okay, how bad you want something? Okay, when it's raining, okay, how bad you want it to start raining? It ain't going to start raining until it start raining. So what you should might as well do is just be in a place to deal with the rain. Whether it be you inside, you know, or whether you outside with your umbrella, I don't know. You know, however you want to deal with the rain. But it's not going to stop the rain from falling. Rain comes, and just like with people, we can't stop people from being who they gonna be at the time that they gonna be there. We can't stop them because we can't control it. But God is definitely teaching you how to deal with how things are. He's giving you, I think that's what the breaking of the cloud, you're going to find peace.
Yes. It's becoming clear.
Yeah,
to where you just be okay with it. That's just what it is. Nothing I can do about it. But I need to relax and let it be. Because you can deal with the rainfall and crying, snotting, having anxiety attacks and all that, or you can deal with the rain just by sitting in a corner, quiet, reading a book, or take a nap, or whatever. It's how you choose to deal with the things that you cannot stop. How you going to react to it, what you're going to be doing during that particular process. And that's really see God teaching you that and building you up and how to move in that arena. Because during this dispensation, this time of your life is really imperative that you do not spend time on superfluous things. It's really urgent that you do not waste unnecessary time. Because the time that you waste doing something that's superfluous or unnecessary is the time that you are wasting, because you could have been using that time more wisely. And God is dealing with you on it. He's going to show you how to be wise with your time.
Mm-hmm.
What to give your mind to. Man, the mind is powerful. It's the reason the Bible says, let this mind be in you. That's also in Christ Jesus. The mind of man. God gave us this operating system. This brain, this mind. Which can store all type of, where everything goes down it. All your decisions are made. All your thoughts go through. Goes through the mind. And so God is definitely going to show you how to not waste time.
Mm-hmm.
Not waste time dealing with things that are unnecessary. And we just thank God for that. That's what I got for you.
I see God really teaching you how to use your time, how to use the time that you have during the day to build the things and to work towards what you want, basically. A lot of times we're, especially like when it comes to careers and jobs and that kind of thing, we spend most of our day doing our job or working our career. And then by the time we get off, we're tired and we're just trying to relax. But we have to use some of that time, especially if we're trying to get out of our job, our career, we have to use some of that time to focus on what it is that we're trying to do. Because what man sets his mind to, that shall he accomplish. Mm-hmm. So when are you setting your mind to what you want? If you're not giving that any time, because I don't know as people why we tend to do this. We're like, I don't want to work this job. I don't want to work this career. I don't want to work for other people, whatever the case may be. But then when do we give time and set our mind to what it is that we want?
Mm-hmm.
I'm ministering to myself too.
Mm-hmm.
When do we give that time?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you set your mind to it, you're going to accomplish it. So That's a distraction of the enemy. It's a trick of the enemy. Mm-hmm. You never set your mind to it, he ain't gonna accomplish it. It's just gonna be a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
But God is gonna teach you how to allot your time so that you are giving time to set your mind to the thing that you want to do. And then he's gonna give you the steps on what it's gonna take to so that you can accomplish it. But you gotta first set your mind to it. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe that this everybody tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, because we had a few people drop off. But everybody's home. We've prayed for it. We just thank you all for tuning in. Prophetic Grace Network. We just thank God for what he's done here and what we're about to witness.
Mm-hmm.
In the very, very near future, we just thank God for everyone's needs being met. We just thank God for being who he is. We pray that you all have a blessed evening. And we'll see you all back here tomorrow night with Randy. And I don't know who's coming on before Randy, but we'll be here. God bless y'all. Good night.
Good night.